listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
You are listening to CJLO News. A coalition of local groups say whoever leads Montreal's next government must change course on housing and homelessness. With campaigning underway for Montreal's municipal election, housing and homelessness has emerged as a key issue for the major parties. Leader of Project Montreal and mayoral candidate Luc Rabouin called housing and homelessness, quote, the big issue of the election, unquote. Multiple groups who work with unhoused people have put out a list of demands for candidates to consider during this election period. Under the umbrella group RAPSIM, the Network for Helping Homeless People, a 20-point platform has been published focusing on accommodation, emergency services, health adaptation, and racial discrimination. Here is RAPSIM's communication organizer, Catherine Marcoux.
We have 20 demands. It's a lot, but we really think like that the city is able to act on homelessness, and not only the provincial government. We often think about the provincial government because they have the responsibility of health and housing, but the city also has a lot of responsibilities, and they can also implement some measures that cost nothing but can benefit the people experiencing homelessness and the community organizations that are helping them. The simple thing is that the city can reaffirm the right to the city of everybody, and that it doesn't depend on residential status. Just to make a declaration about that, to include people in decisions that concern them.
RAPSIM argues that some of the funds for the SPVM, Montreal's police force, could be redirected to more sensitive social services. Police are often the first point of contact for unhoused people due to metro loitering bans and the dismantling of encampments, a practice discouraged by Montreal's own public consultation report on homelessness. Here is Marcoux again.
We also ask that the funds used by the SPVM to carry out repressive practices like dismantling camps or arrests or issuing tickets, they be reallocated to community organizations. We also ask that the next administrations adopt a municipal policy of social cohabitation that explicitly affirms the right of homeless people to occupy public space just like everyone else. And of course, we ask an end to the dismantling of tents, of encampments.
RAPSIM has not endorsed any specific candidates or a party in the Montreal municipal election, but hopes their advocacy will reach the ears of any campaigning candidates.
The main thing is to change the discourse and not to speak like them against us, and to speak like everybody is a citizen. So together we're going to find solutions, and together we're going to ask Quebec for solutions. We're going to ask Canada for solutions. And it's been done in other places, so why not in Montreal?
The major parties' platforms have all been released. They have been curated and can be read about on Election Montreal's website. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes. Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Maximilian Kalinescu.
And I'm Libastico Ela Diallo, and I'm sorry, I cut
you
off.
Quite excited, eh?
On this beautiful Monday morning, I just couldn't help myself. How we doing today, Mags?
We're doing great. We are your hosts of Death of the Midrange.
Yes, sir.
On CJLO 1690.
Man, you really did it well.
Thank you. I'm trying to, like, you know, I've got a goatee. I'm, like, trying to go into my inner 2000s, you know? Yeah. Like, I feel like I look a bit like What's the lead singer of Soundgarden? Chris Cornell. I look a bit like Chris
Cornell.
So many
names, I don't know. I'll have to look them up during
the ad
break.
I only said one, so.
Well, that is true, that is true. I hope the listeners at home are doing well.
And know who Chris Cornell is.
Yes, and if you're not, man, that's what we're here for.
Yes.
If
you're not doing well, we're here to elevate your day.
Yeah.
And we have an exciting show today because we are going to test our ability to be concise. We are ranking the top 10 teams in the East. We would do 15, but we don't have time to do that and be in-depth enough. And also, who would want to talk about the Washington Wizards?
Don't see? That's not okay. That's not okay. Don't start the vibes off like that. Don't do that. Don't do that, man.
We kid. We kid. We love talking about the Washington Wizards.
So much.
So much.
So much.
So, however, before we start, weekly one-on-one happened.
Oh, my God. You know what? I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to bring it up because I didn't want to be, you know, a bad person, but I'm glad you took that upon yourself.
I got cooked.
Tell the people.
Tight. And I was mad about it. But then also, we're at the YMCA. I'm like trying to lock in. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on defense. And you look at me. And then someone walks in the gym and is like, yo, what's up, Lee Boss? And I was like.
That was one time. And please.
It happened four separate times while I was trying to play defense.
Can you let the people know what the score was, Maximilian?
Oh, it was like 11-5 and 11-5.
Thank you.
Both times.
That's for my men's league team. They're like, man, how you going to let somebody beat you one-on-one? I was like, guys, please. So I had to, you know, lock in this week. Really happy we made it happen.
Yeah, and then he went 0-10 in his men's league.
All right, and moving on. Moving on to the real subject of today. So, yeah, we're going to get into that after the first ad break. But before we get into that, Maximilian.
Yes.
I wanted to make you play a little game today.
Yes.
So, name of the game. All right. I'm going to need you to build a starting five, okay?
I'm building a starting five. Yes, yes.
I have a random, like, NBA team generator on my phone, okay?
Okay.
And so I'm going to generate, you know, five random NBA teams for each position, okay? And well, not each position. I'm going to just do it five times. You can choose whatever position.
Yeah.
And your goal of the starting five is to reach 60 all-star selection.
60. Okay, so it's an all-time starting five.
Yeah.
And it's going to, okay. And so I'm trying to reach 60 all-star. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I'm just going to give you a team and you have to pick an all-star from that team.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah, but I need you to like pick one. Like,
is it one through five?
Yeah, like one through five. And it's like, I want like a position. Like I want a point guard, shooting guard, small forward. I don't want none of that new generation stuff.
Yeah.
Positionless basketball. all right. So let's get into it. And I'll count up like how much, okay? So first team. Man, I can feel the drum roll. The first team is the Milwaukee Bucks.
At point guard? Okay.
No, not that doesn't necessarily have to be a point guard, but I just want at the end, at each position to be filled.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So let's go Kareem.
Kareem?
You have to, right? Because that's the most, I have to, how many all-star collections does he have?
Kareem. No, I'm not going to let you, do
you, wait, right.
I won't let you know.
So then we have Kareem at the five.
Which I feel like.
I feel like he has a lot of. Well, he's been in the league for years.
Well, I think.
He had the longevity.
It's really going to test your ball knowledge today. Second team, the Indiana Pacers.
Who played more? So then it's probably. It's probably. Oh. It's either Reggie Miller or Paul George. And it's probably Reggie Miller.
Okay.
So I'm going to put Reggie at the three.
Three?
Yeah.
All right. Remember, no more than 60.
No more than 60. Oh, it has to be 60.
Yeah, yeah, 60.
Exactly.
Exactly 60. That's the point of the game.
Oh.
Your next team is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Memphis Grizzlies. Ooh, okay. Because I feel like Powell didn't make as many All-Stars as you think.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I can comfortably put him at the four. So I'm going to put Pau Gasol at the four. So that's Reggie, Pau, Kareem.
So you got your three, your four, and your five, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm pretty heavy on all-stars. So
they can also be current players, you know?
Yeah, I know. But historically, those are the ones that have the most.
Ooh. Next team is the Miami Heat.
Ooh.
Do you think you have enough? Do you think you have enough, or do you need to go heavy?
Well, I should, because if I needed the 20, then I should have put Reggie at the.
LeBron has played 1-5, to be fair, if you want to pick LeBron. I'll let you put LeBron
at 2. I feel like I don't need that many, but 60 is a lot.
It's up to you, big bro.
No. Give me D Wade.
All right.
Let's be, because I feel like Kareem is going to be hogging a lot of this list.
Dwayne Wade. And for your point guard. The Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, so give me
Dame Dolla.
Dame Dolla.
All right, so Dame Dolla.
Let's see if I got 60.
Let's add up the numbers.
Okay, for the people at home.
Try to guess how many he got.
We have Dame Dolla at the 1.
Yes, sir. Dwayne Wade at the 2. Reggie Miller at the 3. Pau Gasol at the 4. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the 5. Let me tally up. All right.
Not a bad starting 5. Not a lot of 3-point shooting.
All right. How many do you think you got?
I think I got 55.
You got 50.
Oh!
Abdul-Jabbar has 19. Miller only has 5. Gasol only has 6. Dwayne Wade has 13. And Damian Lillard had 7.
Wait. Reggie Miller had 5 all-star appearances?
He's only a 5-time all-star.
How many did Paul George have?
Let's check. I think more. Probably more. Yeah, well, he's a 6-time. He's a 9-time all-star.
Damn. Yeah, so I should have gone LeBron. I would have been fine.
Yeah.
I would have been exactly okay if I went LeBron.
But that's actually like much better. Attempt than I thought.
Because I thought Reggie would have had at least 9 or 10.
It's not an easy, like, it's not an easy exercise, you know what I'm saying?
60 is a lot.
Bro, 60? 60 is a lot.
It's a lot.
But you did get lucky with the NBA teams.
Yes, Kareem, not a lot of, yeah.
Yeah.
Kareem is not on every team.
But bro, talking about all-time greats.
Yeah.
Asia Wilson.
Asia Wilson.
We're about to have a conversation.
Off.
Asia Wilson. Ace is up 2-0.
Yeah.
It's about go time. It's about finish time. Hey, champion. They about to be champions.
Because I heard a lot of people saying that the Mercury were the favorites because of the ball movement.
Yeah.
Specifically. I think that's fine, but it's clear when you like have the one person who is that much of it. Like there's so much that team basketball can get you.
Yeah.
Right? The Spurs played it perfectly, but they also always had someone like Tim Duncan, you know, Kawhi Leonard, David Robinson.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why it works. I think the Mercury have a fantastic team.
And they have a co-DPOY as well.
Yes.
Melissa Thomas.
But I don't think they have anywhere close to the offensive threat that Asia Wilson is.
No, I mean, it's like the whole diaspora of basketball where everybody's always like, when it comes down to it, you need an all-time great to win. Cause when the going gets tough, you got Asia Wilson. You throw that little ball in the post, man. She gonna get you a bucket, a foul, free throws, anything. But she gonna get something out of it.
She's so smooth too. It's ridiculous. Oh. Yeah, and the defense is crazy.
I wish I could move like that for real.
Yeah,
I'd be trying.
He'd be trying.
I'd be in the post, you know. But not like that. But not,
anyways, let's get to this ad break, and then we can get to the ranking of the Eastern Conference. I apologize if I haven't been talking to the mic this time as much. I feel like I might have been a little quiet because I've been a little rambunctious at that.
Rambunctious?
Okay. At that starting 5, I was very into it. We're going to do the first ad break, and then we will get right into ranking the Eastern Conference. We're going to start with the top 3 teams. We're going to then go to the middle 3 teams. And then the bottom 4.
Yes, sir. Don't go anywhere.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
Hey, this is Honey Drip inviting you to Morph Sound System's daytime fundraiser on October 11th at Parquet. Morph is a new collective in Montreal dedicated to empowering women and queer individuals in the creative and technical realms of sound system building. Our fundraiser brings together DJ sets, live performances, panels, workshops, and local vendors. Follow us on Instagram at Morph Sounds for more details, and join us October 11th. Be a part of the sound system.
Welcome back.
Welcome back
to Death of the Mid-Range. If you're just joining us, I'm going to repeat once more.
Why are you late, first of all?
Yeah. Class starts at 9, okay?
Be there at 9.
Um, we're ranking the Eastern Conference, and we both have our picks for who we believe to be the top three right here, and then we will go through the top 10.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should tell each other our top three, and then tell each other where we ranked within the top three.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Right.
Who's in your top three?
So my three teams in no particular order are the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
The New York Knicks.
Okay.
And the Orlando Magic.
Okay, yeah, we good.
Those were my clear top three.
We good. Me too.
I
have the same top three.
And it surprised me how much I trusted. Like, in my notes, I have the Cavs. Okay, so I'll start. I have Orlando at three.
Yeah, me too.
And that was the pick that I said I'm the most confident.
Oh, wow.
Of this team being a three seed. Like, I think that without a shadow of a doubt, this team will be a three seed.
Okay.
And maybe they're going to be higher, but this was my most comfortable placing on the list. Mm-hmm. If you didn't tune into, what was it, episode 3 when we did Dark Horses?
Yeah, it was episode 3.
Yeah, if you didn't tune into episode 3, we already went quite in depth about the Orlando Magic. So we're not going to go as crazy. If you want to hear what we thought, you can tune back into episode 3 and you'll hear, I think it's one of the first teams we talk about.
Yeah.
And, but just pure offensive perspective, like, and defensive, the spacing looks a lot better.
Yeah, like we said in that episode, I think they figured out a lot of things. And I think in the offseason, they addressed every single need they had. And I think that's pretty straightforward. But who do you have at two is what I'm most curious about.
The only other note I have about the Orlando Magic at three is that can they be the post 2022 Celtics?
Yeah.
Meaning that can we not have Franz Ballo-Ball like taking turns, and can it be like a cohesive unit?
Yeah.
100%. That's my only worry for this team. Like, really my only worry for this team. Otherwise I think they're so deep, and the 3-point shooting and the spacing is fantastic and along with the defense.
Yeah.
At my two, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Me too.
Oh, so we have the same top three.
I thought you were going to put the Knicks there, but I like that you put...
No, I put the Knicks first because they're okay.
Well, let's get into the Cavs first. Big year for them. Huge year for them.
I have a lot written. I think my opinions on the Cavs have not changed since last year. Yeah. Like, obviously, we weren't running a show last year, so you don't know what my opinions were. But incredibly built for the regular season. Like, I think they're gonna destroy the regular season. The defense with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley is just insane.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that they'll be very fine. I wrote, and without a doubt, is probably the most well-rounded team in the East right now.
They can do everything.
Yes.
They can score in a multitude of ways. They're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the NBA. They have one of the best benches in the NBA. The one thing, I think the factor that can change their outcome, because the past, like this core, they have 2 first-round exits and 1 second-round exit, right? I think the one thing that can change for them in the playoffs is trusting Mobley more and more.
Yeah, but it also means that Mobley has to be more reliable, too.
But he is. The advanced stats love him. It's just that he doesn't get the chance enough. In the regular season, when Donovan Mitchell was out, his numbers are really good. Like, Mobley's numbers are really good. There's been a couple games. I remember last year, it was a game against the Kings. And, like, Mitchell just didn't play the fourth quarter. And they really trusted Mobley with the ball in his hand. And he's so efficient offensively.
That is the Kings, though, just to...
Yeah, but, you know, still, and I think in the playoffs, they got so stagnant and so reliant on Mitchell, who was driving to the rim like 20 times, attempting so many layups.
That's true.
That's not durable, you know? And I think... But,
well, I also think they had injury struggles. And,
of course.
They kind of just needed, hey, Donovan Mitchell, do what you do, because it was kind of their out. What I will say about this team is I agree. If they put the trust in... For the Orlando Magic, I said give or take they're going to be a 55-win team.
Yeah.
That was my prediction. For the Cavs, without a doubt, they're going to be the 60-win team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're 60-plus, even. I think last year they won 64. They could probably do the same thing this year. Because I think the Celtics won 61.
Yeah, 64. But, same core as well. Continuity. Yeah.
The team is just going to be a more well-oiled machine than it was last year.
I mean, that's one way to think about it. I don't know. I think the regular season is just not even a question for them.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even matter. It's just what they're going to do in the playoffs. They have to come hungry, and they can't just, like, not make it past the second round. They need to prove something. This core needs to prove something.
Also, their off-season moves, getting Lonzo Ball.
Great move.
So if I wrote as a pro, Lonzo Ball, as a worry, Lonzo Ball being made out of paper mache.
Mm.
Like, you saw it with the Bulls, where as soon as Lonzo's playing, there's no worries.
Like, yeah, he's great.
We're locked in, right? You get spacing, you get defense, you get three-point shooting, you get playmaking. You get it all
with Lonzo. He gets you whatever you need.
And then you pick up Thomas Bryant, who, you know, isn't anything amazing, but you needed a good, solid backup big who wasn't Tristan Thompson.
Wizards legend, by the way.
Right? Wizards legend.
Thomas Bryant, love you.
Oh, I thought you were saying Tristan Thompson Wizards legend. I was like, what? Hey,
TB13, he used to play on the Wizards. He was really good on the Wizards.
But you get someone who's like an actual rim threat and like protector and lob threat with Lonzo.
Yeah, space out too.
So, also, Killian Hayes is on this roster. Did you know that?
Hey, shout out Killian. Yeah. He got an opportunity with the Nets last year, and I hope he gets some minutes. He's going to figure it out eventually. I got really nostalgic, a little bit off topic. I got really nostalgic 2 days ago, and I was watching Frank Ntilikina highlights. And
Don't get me started.
Whatever. And talking about Frank Ntilikina, let's talk about the Knicks.
Funny.
Our number one seed.
Yes.
I think the double big lineup is, if I looked at the stats, they only play like 600 possessions during the regular season, which is insane. And then in the playoffs, they're like rebounding numbers when these two play together.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson, Cat. Yeah.
Insane. And I think, like, from the preseason games, I think that's where they're going to lean, with Josh Hart kind of embracing more a, like, off-the-bench role. And kept the same core, addressed their needs. They got backcourt depth now. Clarkson, Brogdon, got veterans. Got better in the frontcourt with Gershon Yabusele. Shout out to Gershon. A stretch four who can defend multiple positions. He runs to the rim, and he's like a 38%, you know, 3-point shooter. And I think their core is going to be really nice. And also Mike Brown. Shout out Mike Brown.
Yeah, that was what I wrote in my notes. I think just with a new energy, right? I think the Knicks are going to come out storming.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Clarkson is a great pickup because it's exactly what they need.
On the minimum.
From someone off the bench, right? And they needed that punch because, I mean, Miles McBride is really good. I quite like him as an NBA player.
Yeah. He had a really good season last year.
He had a great season, but he is not that six-man role. He's not like a bucket.
He just needs help. Like, it can't all be on him.
Exactly.
Know?
Like, you need him to be, like, he's a great three-point kick-out, catch-and-shoot threat.
Great shooter,
yeah. And he can be a, you know, you can rely on him for, like, 4 to 5 points by himself. Like, just give me the ball, I'll get a bucket. But with Jordan Clarkson, I can give him the ball when my starters need rest and just go, okay, like, get 15 points. Get me 15 points while Jalen Brunson and Kat are resting and I'm not even thinking about it. Like, it's not even a thought, right? And I think also I don't like Josh Hart coming off the bench. Because he provides so much when he's next to Jalen Brunson. I find that when he is in the starting lineup, this team has way more energy and way more hustle. And Kat seems to have motivated himself quite a lot more than we've seen him in Minnesota, where he needs to be a little more motivated. However, having Josh Hart next to him, like a literal human diesel engine that can go through the mud and like not have to think about, his nose was gushing blood, or was it his forehead?
Forehead.
Was gushing blood. They patched him up in 1 minute and sent him back on the floor like a good little soldier, right?
Yeah, but you know what the counter argument to that is? Cat can't defend the damn rim. He cannot defend the damn rim.
That is true.
It was like you could see it in the playoffs. When Mitchell Robinson wasn't starting, it was barbecue chicken at the rim. And that's the problem with Cat. He cannot guard the rim and he can't rebound as well.
But that's also with Tom Thibodeau minutes.
I mean, sure, but Cat has never been a good defender at the rim.
Well, this is true, but I also think he can be an okay, like, just person that is standing. I'm not saying defender or good on defense. Yeah. I'm saying someone who is tall and is next to the rim.
Yeah.
Right?
But that doesn't mean Josh Hart, like, Josh Hart will most likely close with this unit.
Yeah.
And he will most likely play 30 minutes still. It's just nice to have Mitch Robinson in there. Because he's such an anchor, and he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He's one of the most. He asks for nothing, and he does everything.
What they also the Knicks made one more offseason move that I cannot remember.
They got Gershon. They signed Malcolm Brogdon.
I forgot they got Yabusele.
Yeah, because Yabusele couldn't agree on a contract with the Sixers, and so he really wanted to re-sign with the Sixers.
Yeah, I know you could tell.
And then he signed with the Knicks, and he's been He's been really excited.
Now that's
a great move. Great move.
It's a great move because it also means that you can run the double big lineup comfortably,
and you can switch.
If Mitchell Robinson's out, then you could throw Gershon in the starting five and not really worry about it because he's just such a big body
and he can shoot.
And he can shoot. Well, not reliably, but like he's 35%.
38.
38%. Clearly, I have not been up on my GOAT, Gershon Yabusele.
That's my French king right there. 38%. He had a great season last year. Really, really good. And he can stretch that floor. He can really stretch that floor.
Okay. So that was our top three.
Yeah.
I think...
That's where we're going to disagree now. I think that's where we start to disagree.
If we have the same list, this would be really funny because we were hyping this up for...
We're
like, yo, I can't wait to argue with
bro,
you.
We about to disagree like crazy, bro. All right. So you want to go 4 through 6?
Let's go 4 through 6.
All right. I'll get my top three this time. So I got...
Okay. Before you go, just to...
Yeah.
If you just tuned in, top three in the East. We both have the same top three with the Knicks at 1, Cavs at 2, Orlando at 3.
Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic. All right. That was free. That was for you.
Okay. Give me your top three or your middle three.
Yeah.
In no particular order.
All right. I'm going to protect myself from the stones that are about to be thrown at me. I have
Washington.
I have the Indiana Pacers, the Detroit Pistons, and the Atlanta Hawks.
We have the exact same.
You are kidding, bro. Oh my God. Okay. Sorry for the listeners out. That's insane.
Sorry. We were a hive mind. Is that the in order or no?
No.
Yeah.
I have, at 4.
No. Give me your 6.
My six is the Indiana Pacers.
Oh my God. We have the same.
Yeah, but we won't get into it because last week we really got into the did we no it was 2 weeks ago
it was Dark Horse as yeah, well
we really got into
so
the
week
Indiana Pacers.
Week three or yeah third episode
yeah
we really got into it
and I think it's like same thing as I said 2 weeks ago just the core I think they're deep and that they know how to win and that they will win
and Benedict Mathurin's gonna be a scoring god
and he was right because Rick Carlisle said in NBA Media Day that Ben Mathurin was going to be the starting shooting guard.
Yeah, and I also think he's just going to play a big role and be effective. Like he's one of those guys where I'm not truly worried about whether or not he's going to have consistency. Like he's just going to be a bucket, and whether that be 15 points a game or 25 points a game, if he can provide anywhere within that range on a nightly basis, I'm not worried because I have Pascal Siakam, I have Andrew Nembhard, I have Aaron Nesmith, and I have Obi Toppin, and I have Jay Huff.
Shout out
Jay Huff. No, but the Pacers, I comfortably put them at 6. I said they are about a 40-45 win team.
Yeah.
That's what I'm predicting.
Who's your 5th?
The Pistons.
Yeah, me too.
How are we locked in?
I didn't think you were...
How are we locked in?
I didn't think you were high on the Pistons like that. I mean, same thing. Like, it's not glamorous, you know, but they have...
losing Malik hurts a lot.
Sure, but Malik disappeared in the playoffs last year. And
yeah, but
their team was like really, they pushed the Knicks to six.
Yeah, but in all reality, is Duncan Robinson really going to be a more consistent player than Malik Beasley?
In my opinion, I believe a lot in Duncan Robinson. In this system, having this many dogs around him that are going to want to set him up, playing with a point guard like Cade Cunningham who wants to set you up every time. Not saying that the Heat doesn't have any playmakers, but they really have a point guard that loves to pass the ball. And so...
Right.
And so I think Duncan Robinson can get back to like shooting 40% from three and, you know, attempting like eight threes. So yeah. And I think, you know, the arguments against the Pistons usually is because, like, they're not glamorous. Tobias Harris is still your starting power forward. But Tobias Harris is, like, very steady. Very, very steady, you know?
Right.
And he's good. He can get, you know, 10 to 15 points a game. And he'll have, you know, his little mid-range game, his little post touches. I think he's, you know, and this unit is gonna roll. You also have Jaden Ivey coming back.
Ooh. Which is a big move for them. I also think I believe in Jalen Duren.
So much.
Like, so much. I wrote, team should be fine with the development of Cade, Asar, and Duren.
Yeah.
And now Jaden Ivey's coming back.
Who was in the midst of a career year last year. He was shooting 40% from three.
What was his injury?
Achilles.
He tore his Achilles?
Yeah.
So that's going to be a little hard for him to slowly ramp it up. Because he was such an athletic player whose shot was questionable.
Yeah, but he was starting to figure it out. Like, legit.
So I hope all is well. I really like Jaden Ivey. You screwed with my fantasy a lot.
It's always when like you were that a rookie, with you, bro.
But I still love him.
Also, Ron Holland. Don't forget about Ron Holland. I watched him in Summer League. Yo, he's figuring it out. I'm not going to get too high on it, but if he can even provide a little bit more than he did last year, this team is like.
Yeah, I put them at 50 plus because I think they're secure for that. I don't think that they're going to go any lower.
Mm.
I mean, when you're looking at the power vacuums from last year, not much has changed other than Pacers getting a little lower, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when you're ranking it, I mean, the Pistons only lost...
Schroeder
and Malik.
But they did get Caris LeVert. They got Duncan Robinson. They also got... what's his name? Oh, that wasn't them. But they're getting Isaiah Stewart back, who wasn't there in the playoffs last year.
I love me some beef stew.
You know, me too. But I think it's like sustainable things that you can take from last year. You know, this kind of like bad boy Pistons, this gritty team, the defense. This is sustainable. Yeah. They can bring it to this year, and I think they can get better offensively. I think Caris LeVert is such an underrated move. A lot of people were hating on
it. Yeah, it is just an offensive punch. Like
he's a secondary playmaker, exactly. Too. It's important to have guys like this, even if you don't like the way they play. It's really important to have guys like this.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way of putting it. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be like glamorous basketball, but it's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of dunks.
And I personally love it. Like, they trash talk. They want you to hate them. They come in here, like, to bust up your city, and I love that attitude about them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great... I think it's going to be a great season for the Detroit Pistons, and I think I want to watch them play the Knicks in the playoffs again because when I was watching...
Oh, I love that.
When I was watching Asar guard Jalen Brunson...
Asar, oh my God. Bro, shout out to Asar. Asar Thompson is... That was only his sophomore year. He's
probably
please.
The second... Him and his brother are the two, like, pinnacles of what you want for defending forwards.
Just forwards in general. I mean, like running the floor, wings, hustling. Yeah, it's like, ugh. I'm, like, really excited to watch the Pistons
play. I think there's going to, like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of dunks. And I think that now that there's more, there's going to be a little more spacing on the floor. I think you're going to see a lot more actions with Asar running to the rim and showing off his insane athleticism.
It's also about him, like, I think if he gets more confident on the ball, him or Ron Holland, I feel like they both have that, like, that ability to have an in-between game.
And is Sasser also on?
Yeah, but Sasser is a third-string guard now.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad
thing. Like, well, no, he's good. He's like a little scoring punch.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, but I think if Asar can figure out how to, like, you know, keep a tight handle and, you know, maybe get a little mid-range in there,
yeah,
any type of shot, then... It can become like your prototypical wing that gets a bucket.
I agree.
You know, I think Amen is like further along, obviously.
Yeah, I also think it's because his team was probably a little better, but I also think he might just be a better player. Yeah.
But even defensively, a dog, yeah. A dog, and really excited.
However, the team that I didn't realize how high I was until I started looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Libos, tell me about the Atlanta Hawks.
It's a controversial pick that I'm surprised that we both made, because guess what? Out of all these teams that we've named, this is the roster that had the most shakeup, one. And two, they were like ninth in the East last year.
Yeah.
Okay. They were under 500. Okay.
And now I have them at 50 plus.
And it's I think in every year you have that team that, you know, wasn't in the playoffs last year that, you know, finally made it. And you have to make kind of like quote-unquote surprise decisions.
And that's what I mean with the power vacuum thing, right?
Like, yeah. The Celtics, you know, drop out. And then now there's room for more. And I think, listen, getting Kristaps Porzingis, right? You're getting back Jalen Johnson, who was an all-star last year, supposed to be an all-star.
He should have been, absolutely.
But he got injured, unfortunately. Zachary Risacher, amazing summer with France, you know, coming in. And Trae Young being Trae Young. You got Dyson Daniels, most improved player.
Nickeil Alexander-Walker.
Who they paid, and perfect. I want to talk also about Luke Kennard.
I have him at the top of my list.
Luke Kennard. If for the people that don't know at home, Luke Kennard is one of the most
watch basketball
underrated bench pieces in the league. He's not only a shooter. He is a secondary playmaker. He can even play the backup one for you.
That's crazy. And also, he can do that while shooting something like an NBA career high 43% from three.
I think I was this summer I was just checking after the sign-in, and I think he's like never shot under 40% or something like
that. That's insane.
And in the month of... There was a month last year with the Grizzlies. For a whole month, he averaged like 6.5 assists because Morant was out and he was playing like starting point guard / backup point guard minutes.
Right.
And he averaged 6.5 assists.
That's crazy. That's Luke Kennard
for you.
That's crazy.
That's Luke Kennard. And I think coming off their bench, it's going to be so good. Onyeka Okongwu as well.
I'm so high on Onyeka Okongwu because...
Yeah.
What I wrote in my notes is that this team has more depth around Trae Young than it did in 2021.
Yeah.
When we watched the King of New York, right? And we watched the dismantlement of the Philadelphia 76ers and the almost dismantlement of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And this team just got better.
They did.
This team just got so much better. And I think what people aren't seeing is how insane the spacing is on this team.
And the length, too.
Like, your defense just got so much better because your defense was inexcusable last year, and because you had Trae Young and you had no paint defense, right? And you had, I mean, Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson are great defenders, but Dyson Daniels isn't enough as a wing to hold up the rim and the perimeter the entire time.
Give him a break. Like, he can't do everything.
Exactly. And Clint Capella...
He only played 55 games.
And we're watching him be at the very end of his career, right? And now he's with the Rockets again.
Shout out. I'm happy about that.
I'm very happy for him. But I also think that it is good. Oh, the spacing. The spacing is so insane because Kristaps is the perfect pick and pop player for Trae Young. Like, he will stretch the floor, and then he's also just an easy lob threat. Even though he's older now, and I'm not trusting his athleticism, like we saw with the Wizards, how he started to decline in athleticism too, especially after his back stiffed up in Dallas, and then went to, you know, he was great with Boston because of his defense. The spacing with Porzingis makes life a lot easier, and it also makes Jalen Johnson's life a lot easier. Because Jalen Johnson can attack the rim so much more frequently because he will be one of the only people who are attacking the rim.
Yeah.
Consistently.
But I think it's going to be a successful recipe because the successful recipe is when you have a small guard, a very undersized guard like Trae Young, who struggles to play defense. Guess who you surround him with?
Buckets and defense.
Just big wings. Like big wings who can defend. Like it's insane. The height,
wall.
The height on this team. Dyson Daniels is like 6'6". Risacher 6'7". Jalen Johnson is like 6'9". And then you have Porzingis who's like 7'3", right? That's insane. That's insane. And I think God Barrett, just health, Health will be the name of the game. Unfortunately, Jalen Johnson only played 36 games last year. Capella played 55.
But I also think that there is so much more depth on this team that minutes are going to be okay.
For me, I agree with that take. For me,
if people are healthy.
It's the center rotation.
Right.
Kristaps, Porzingis, love him. Love him.
But he's also made of paper mache.
And if he's not healthy, then I think they can still be a contending team, but it's like it gets really thin behind him is Onyeka, who really showed his true value after Capella went down last year. So yeah. He was so great for them.
But he is undersized
and he can't really stretch the floor. Then you have Mohamedou Gay, who I also like, but it gets really thin. If that's your third string center, then it gets really, really thin. They lost Larry Nance, who's really good for them last year.
Yeah.
So I think the dynamic game will be health.
Who went to the Cavs?
Yeah.
Right? Good pick. Even more depth for the Cavs.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's no reason why they shouldn't be top four, top five. And I think this team is actually legitimately really fun. And also Quinn Snyder.
Oh, great coach.
Shout out to Quinn Snyder. If you know, he knew Antetokounmpo was going to be great.
Yeah.
Since that day, bro, you might go.
And LeBron thought Kobe was going to, drop 80. He knew it, actually.
Hey, so did I. From the womb, I know. I was like, you about to drop 80, 81. And they're really good in transition as well, right?
Sorry, I just punched my mic trying to rub my eye.
That was a very funny stat I saw. They were top of the league for getting out in transition and frequency.
Yeah.
Top percentile. But they were in the bottom percentile in conversion.
That's so funny.
And I thought that was so funny because that's such a weird thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They get hella steals, get hella in transition, but they can't finish at the rim.
That's so funny. But I that's a really funny statistic.
It doesn't really mean anything because it's whatever. But they got better.
Yeah.
They just got better. I think this roster is going to be very sustainable throughout the season. And also, I think people are going to be really tuned in.
Yeah, because when the Hawks are good, basketball is fun.
ATL.
Because ATL. But I obviously, Trae Young is so much fun to watch as an NBA fan because his move, he's just gotten better. It's like watching D-Book, Yeah. It's so smooth and it's basketball, right? And you're like, wow, he's really perfected this craft. Trae Young has perfected the craft of pissing you off and then hitting a 90-footer and then being little and a little chopped. And it's just kind of and then you're like, why is this happening?
He is very gorgeous to me.
But to wrap this up, I wrote cons, can Tingus Pingus stay healthy?
Yeah.
And I think he should maybe, I don't know, who knows. And I think you have enough defense to hide Trae Young, which was obviously the biggest issue.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at all these offseason moves and how much depth you add, the thing that you forget about is Trae Young, who on the most inefficient stats of his career averaged 25 and 13 or something. No, it was 11.
But he struggled a bit last year.
But he's going to be fine because of the spacing.
Yeah, he's
going to
be much better.
When Luke Kennard is going to be open in the corner and Nikhil Alexander Walker's in the other.
I'm salivating.
And you're sitting there as a defense going, okay, so do we guard the 43% three-point shooter? Do we guard Trae Young, who can pull it from anywhere? Or do we guard Nikhil Alexander-Walker? And in that shuffle, if you don't guard either of those guys, then it's a lob to the rim for Jalen Johnson, right? So, I mean, it's pretty beautiful going on in Atlanta, and I'm really high on the Hawks.
And I think we're going to both agree on that. And also Quinn Snyder really, making this offense much more modern, much more modern. It's just with the Knicks, when you're so dependent on one player, it's really important to allow others to, give input. And towards the end of the year, he gave a lot of freedom to Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson earlier in the year to run the offense. And it's really important to diversify your offense, especially come playoff time. But yeah, we're excited about the Hawks.
I think they'll easily be a 55-win team.
And I hope. I mean, right now, we're believers because this is an unproven core that hasn't played together yet. But I want to be a believer.
Yeah, because the Hawks are fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited to see this team play.
I am too. And on that, we're going to go to an ad break, and then we will be back with the bottom 10.
The play-in.
So
the play-in four, as we call them.
Yeah, the play-in four.
You want some hip-hop, you want some R&B? Tune into The Limelight, 6 to 8 every Saturdays, right here on CJLO 1690 on your AM dial. That's what's up.
Arts in the Margins present Festival Flux, a Montreal experimental music festival taking place from October 1st to 11th. Festival Flux is a unique mix of concerts, workshops, roundtables, presentations, and publication launches, all configured around performance, place, and politics. You won't want to miss innovative artists such as Beam Splitter, Anne F. Jacques and Ryoko Okama, Bozzini Quartet, Andrew Cyril, Christina Warren, Violence Gratuite, Nada El Shazly, and more. For more information on the festival and how to get tickets, visit fluxmtl.org.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Death of the Midrange.
Yes, sir.
On CJLO. For the next 15 minutes, we are going to be talking about the play-in teams.
Yep.
In the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Thus far, we have the Knicks at one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not talking about the play-in at this point. I'm talking about the seeding. Knicks at one, Cavs at two, Orlando at three,
yep.
Hawks at four,
ATL,
Pistons at five, Pacers at six.
Do you want to give me the four?
I'm going to give them in order because I think we're going to differ.
I bet. I'll stop you if we differ. Go ahead.
At seven, I have the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay. Me too.
At eight, I have the Toronto Raptors.
Oh my God, how dare you? Okay.
At nine, I have the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay.
And at 10, this one was hard for me, but I have the Miami Heat.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So is the only thing that we differ on...
So you have the Celtics outside completely?
I have the Celtics outside completely.
Because mine is, I have the Bucks at seven. I agree with that.
And that was another one of my picks where I was like, I know the Bucks are going to be the seventh seed, and that's my second most confident pick. Yeah.
And I don't think we should get into it because we got into it last week.
Yes.
And for time's sake, we won't get into it. But the Bucks at seven, whatever. My number eight team is the Sixers.
Yeah.
And then I have the Celtics at nine, and I have the Miami Heat at 10.
Okay. The Celtics at nine is insane.
I don't know how that is not insane. The more insane thing is having the Raptors at eight. But look, okay, let's go on the eighth seed, okay? We talked about the Raptors in our first episode. I just want you to tell me what makes the Raptors better than
Philly?
Than Philly or Boston or Miami.
So
what I have the Raptors outside my top 10.
I don't think that's fair. And that's, maybe I'm biased, but I don't think it's fair. Mm-hmm. Realistically, if we're talking about this list, Philly should be at the five seed. However, neither of us have faith in Philadelphia at all.
You know they could be first or last. Like, so there's no, you know.
That's what I wrote in my notes. I said, this is the team that I will be okay with putting under because I don't have faith. Even though I really love their rookie, VJ Edgecombe.
Shout out.
I think he's fantastic. I think his production with Tyrese Maxey and Jared McCain are going to be amazing. I have no faith that Embiid and Paul George are going to be healthy.
Can I just join you in that argument?
Yes.
My prediction, I was talking to my roommate about this. My prediction is that Philly will lean fully into the youth movement. I don't want to be pessimistic. I love Joel Embiid. I love Paul George, and I really hope they come back healthy.
Yeah,
they win 60 games.
Same here.
I'm not wishing that upon anybody, but I think that Paul George and Joel Embiid, my prediction is that they will struggle to come back, and that the Sixers will move on from both of them, and then because they have the luck of having a little youth movement, right? Justin Edwards, Adam Bona, Jerry McCain, Tyrese Maxey.
Justin Edwards, he was pissing me off by dropping 30 on the Raptors.
And
bro.
VJ Edgecombe, they have the luck of they got to pick third last draft, right? So lean into that. You have players that are wanting to lead Philly. These old dudes, I think they should move on from. And I don't think they're going to be that good this year. That's why I have them at eighth because you got to respect. It's the Sixers, man.
No, I understand. I don't and that's probably my bias showing. I could have flipped either the Raptors or the Sixers. However, I just do not trust that Embiid is going to be healthy and Paul George is going to be healthy and effective.
Yeah.
Right? I think they have more spacing and they don't need to rely on it. And Paul George is now in a new system. And I also think that Nick Nurse will be a good coach for this team.
Yeah.
And we saw with Nick Nurse as a Raptors fan, I know a little bit. He's good at coaching when his team is good.
Yeah.
Which is not really fair. Like, he can do kind of the drama, but not well. If the team has a lot of talent, he is a very good coach because he knows how to work with a lot of talent. When it comes to questionability and with the young guys, like, it's a little hard for Nick Nurse because he has trust issues, right? And I don't think having Embiid and Paul George helps with anxiety and the hair pulling that Nick Nurse sometimes tends to do. But anyways, regardless, I think that the Philly will be Philly. I have Raptors at 8 because I trust the depth and talent on this roster more. I think that they can be an effective play-in team more so than both the Heat. But Philly, it's up to debate. I think either could be the 9th or 8th seed. But I'm going to put my foot down because I like the Raptors. I think the team has a lot more talent. And I think when you have a starting five that looks on paper for the regular season quite good. I mean, Jakob Poeltl is an insanely underrated defender and player. You then have Scottie Barnes, Brandon Ingram, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quigley. And I think then you have Grady Dick coming off your bench. You have the development of Jamal Shedd. Yep. You still have Ochai Agbaji. I mean, Jonathan Mogbo is going to come out.
I understand your arguments and stuff, but I really struggled. Like, I really sat with this. I was going to put him at 10, right? I like the Raptors. You know, we talked about them in the first episode and everything, but they're my problem is that they're not proven, and I believe that the Celtics are still going to make a play-in. Like, the only thing that could prove me wrong, in my opinion, is that they tank and that they willingly will lose. But
the photos of Peyton Pritchard say otherwise.
Yeah, but Joe Mazzulla is
insane.
Should be in an insane asylum. Right, and they still, you know, Derek White, Anfernee Simons, Jalen Brown, Sam Hauser, Nemias Keita, who had a great Eurobasket, and the way I seen Jason Tatum, the way I seen the brother move on Twitter, I'm asking questions if he's not going to suit up for starting night. You know what I'm saying?
His doctor went, "I've never seen someone come back from an Achilles injury this quickly and with this much strength."
And they're just more proven. Even the Heat, are like a play-in staple.
Let's slow it down. The reason why I do not have the Boston Celtics in my top five is outside of the six-man rotation, which their center and power forward position are very questionable with Keita and Sam Hauser.
Chris Boucher, too.
I love the Chris Boucher pickup, and I think he will get minutes. And I like Xavier Tillman.
Yeah.
However, dog water after that. Like, it is – I hope that we can see, he was a G League staple with the
Jordan Walsh.
Yes. No.
JD Davidson.
No, it's Justin something. He was playing with the G League. He won G League MVP. He got called up a couple times, and then there wasn't any minutes on the Celtics.
You know, it's not Jordan Walsh, the ball dude.
No, it's not. Anyways, I don't trust the depth. Like, even though.
It's Mazzulla ball, though. He can make anybody good.
But can he? Like, Keita's great, but we saw last year with a lot of possessions where Keita's on the floor as a great rim protector, but the basketball IQ's not there, but right?
You have, for me, I think this is a year where it's a pivotal year for the Celtics where they kind of wait for Tatum's comeback, and I think this is a year where you kind of throw these young guys out there, right, and you see what kind of sticks. Peyton Pritchard is also a maniac, and I think he could have a career year.
That's a very good point, too.
And I think he could have a career year. Again, I'm not putting the Celtics as the sixth seed, but I think they're still going to win a handful of games. And I really like the Raptors, and I wish I could have put them higher, but in my prediction, that's where I cut it. I think they're not going to make it in the top 10.
That's fair. I just think that I'm watching the Raptors be a lot more of a cohesive unit. There's a lot more time to develop, and I just think that that things are going to be good in Toronto. I trust that.
I hope to.
I just trust because the amount of talent and the energy that seems to be coming out of this team, and some of the quotes from Media Day where Brandon Ingram really seems happy, someone who doesn't show a lot of emotion and doesn't is kind of blasé all the time, seems quite content with being in Toronto, takes a team-friendly deal, and I just think that they can be effective. The reason why Boston is not in my play-in teams is because I think that outside of depth, they suck. Mm-hmm. And if people get injured...
Sorry about that.
Technical difficulties. If they get injured, right, Jaylen Brown goes out, you lose the only true... scoring, like, obviously they're scoring punches, but you need an all-star caliber player to tank the load, and Derek White will be fine.
And he's shown, especially in the Spurs year, that he can step up offensively.
And Anthony Simons and Peyton Pritchard, they're all going to be great. But you have three guards and one shooting guard, small forward.
But you know how NBA seasons go. There's always revelations. You know, one of these young dudes, Jordan Walsh, is going to play a bigger role. Yeah, and Mazzulla was really high on him. So who knows? But listen, I mean, we'll see. I'm excited to see how it all turns out. But if we can get in a quick word about the Miami Heat.
Oh, I wrote in my notes, starting lineup, tough.
Well, tough. I thought you were going to say two words, Davion Mitchell.
And that's part of it.
No, but this lineup, you know, Tyler Hero, Norman Powell, Wiggins, Adebayo, Khalil Ware. This is a lineup that is so versatile, shooting, scoring, like paint defense, paint touches, whatever you want. I don't have them higher than... I think the highest I could have them maybe the A seed. I love Spoelstra.
I wouldn't even put them that high.
Heat culture has gotten so, like, cringe. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it. Heat fans, please calm down. I love the Miami Heat. I was a big fan of the Jimmy Butler era. But it's not enough. You can't just be a playing team every year and not, like, just ever want to be higher than that. Norman Powell said the goal was a championship. I won't laugh. Brother, calm down. But I'm really excited about Khalil Ware. I think he has star potential.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the with him and Bam on the floor, I think Bam
is a four.
Yeah, Bam. I don't know because I guess Bam is shorter than Khalil Ware because I think Ware is almost 7 feet.
Yeah,
if not 7 feet.
Yeah, and Bam is 6'9".
And his shooting stroke is looking good.
Yeah, right? And in the summer league, he was, like, dominating, playing, like, the kind of AD role where it's like, exactly. You're a big that can do whatever, you know?
Besides him having a horrific top five all time.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Where he put Bam and Paul George as his top five players in NBA history.
Game time.
Ball game. I think Bam, too, we're going to see him shoot. Not volume threes, but he's going to average three threes a game, I think.
He just needs to be like, I'm tired of telling Bam, shoot the ball. Be aggressive. Shoot the ball. At one point, either if you don't want to be aggressive, fine. Let Khalil Ware be aggressive then.
Yeah.
And just play your normal, you know.
And that's where I think, too, it will help with having Khalil Ware on the floor, where you can start to have this fun dynamic where both of them can start stretching the floor and helping each other improve as
really
shooters.
Fun, yeah, front right? court, yeah.
And if Bam's dating Aja Wilson,
come on now, power couple right there.
He's got to learn how to get buckets,
yeah,
because that woman is a bucket. Nuts.
Do you want to go through your top 10 and then I'll go through my top 10 and then we'll end in there?
Yes. I have the Knicks at 1, Cavs at 2, Orlando at 3, Hawks at 4, Pistons at 5, Pacers at 6, Bucks at 7, Raptors at 8, Sixers at 9, Heat at 10.
Okay, and I have Knicks at 1, Cavs at 2, Magic at 3, Atlanta Hawks at 4, Pistons, give me Pistons at 5, Indiana Pacers at 6, Bucks at 7, Sixers at 8, Boston Celtics at 9, and closing it out, the Miami Heat. And I think we'll see at the end of the season who is right. Next week, hope you tune in with us. We will be talking about the Western Conference and doing the
same idea,
exact same thing. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, and with these last 30 seconds, I hope that you enjoy your day.
Yes.
I wonder if your list was similar to ours.
Ooh,
if you had
yeah.
one. and come prepared with a sheet of paper and write your Western list and compare it to ours.
Yeah, I hope you have a great week. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, guys. Bye.
Me and Mrs. Jones.